So our next speaker is Brother Omar Zia. Omar Zia is an educator working with the Peel School Board in Ontario, Canada. He is a well-known khatib and lecturer in Toronto. He holds degrees of Bachelor of Science, Bachelor of Education, and a Master's of Education. Brother Omar Zia currently works in the curricular head of studies of student services as a guidance counselor with the Peel District School Board. Previously, he has been a department head of the ESL and special ed cross-curricular literacy head and an English head. He has also served as a principal in the night school for a few years. Brother Omar had the honor of studying Islamic studies under numerous well-known Muslim scholars in the Toronto area. He has been running popular youth halaqas and parenting workshops at Understanding Islam Academy and Turn to Learn for several years now. So, Brother Omar, the mic is yours.
JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. It's my pleasure to be here with all of you today. To begin, I have a tendency of speaking too fast. So if I speak too fast, someone just wave your hand, I'll slow down, inshallah. And I want to thank all of you for coming here today. As our sister mentioned, it is a very important part of our lives that we share our knowledge, we share our expertise, and that we come together as a community to help each other. All of you here are from your individual families, but it is an expectation of our ummah that we all help each other. We are from a single brotherhood and sisterhood of Islam. So you are seeing each other's faces here in the masjid, you are seeing each other's faces here, you now all know you share the same concern. So in the days and the weeks and months to come, my sincere hope is that you continue to talk with each other, speak with each other. Perhaps the masjid will continue to facilitate these parenting workshops to have an opportunity to talk and share and discuss with each other. Many of you, your children are the same age. Okay, the concerns are the same. Your children are going to go through the same learning process as well, the same development. So it's very, very important that you meet and reach out to each other and develop a network amongst yourselves so you continue to have these conversations, right? When we get together, it's not always about politics and religion. We should talk about our children and their upbringing as well. Clear? Okay. So what my perspective, what I'm bringing here today, is similar to what our sister mentioned, and there will be some overlap, but I would like to really promote understanding. That's what I'm trying to present with you here today, is understanding of what is happening in the world around us. And these are the four perspectives I like to bring. The public school board, life as a teacher. Okay, I'm not presenting the Ministry of Education, nor am I representing a specific school board. Just as an educator, I've been an educator for 16 years now. As a Muslim and as a parent.
والثاني من منظوره كمدرس والثالث كمسلم والرابع كأب.
So to begin with, try to understand the publicly funded school boards. This is both the public board and the Catholic board. They're both equally funded through the public monies, so they're both responsible. And in both situations, in all situations when dealing with a public board of education, we have to understand that they have a number of clients and stakeholders. Meaning that there are a lot of people with their hands in the pie, trying to control what happens inside the school, how trying to have some sort of influence. And those stakeholders are, as you see here, there are staff members, teachers, administrators, current students, former students. A lot of schools have an alumni association where, you know, you might have older graduates from the school giving money and thereby having some influence as to what happens in the school. You have the government, of course, with their curriculum. And you might have some other community agencies that might be involved in scholarships at the school or coming to the school to give presentations. You may also have local politicians who might want to play a role in terms of what happens inside the school building. So the public school board is actually open to everybody, to a very, very large number of stakeholders.
Board of Education or إدارة التعليم احنا بنظن هي فقط المسؤولة عن اللي بيتم تدريسه في المدارس وكذا طبعا إدارة التعليم هي بتاخد الفندنج او النفقات بتاعتها من الحكومة او من التاكسز اللي احنا بندفعها مثلا وفي حاجات كتير داخلة في الموضوع في البوليتيشنز داخلين في الموضوع ربما الميديا بعض الاسر يعني في ناس او في ايادي معينة داخلة في الموضوع مش الإدارة التعليم فقط هي المسؤولة او هي اللي لها الكلمة العليا في كل حاجة في ناس تانية وفي عقليات وفي خلفيات وفي توجهات معينة هي اللي بتحكم الموضوع.
And very important to remember that as a parent, you are one of those major stakeholders.
And كأب أو كأم كوالد يعني لك كلمة في الموضوع ربما أنك تشارك في المدرسة وتعرف رأيك وكل لك رأي في الموضوع.
And because the public board of education is open to all of these stakeholders, and because it has such a wide variety of clientele, both parents and students, it does not have the luxury of excluding anybody. It must include every single person, no matter of their background, into the school. And this is protected for every single Canadian through the 1982 Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms.
طبعا الإدارة التعليم والمدارس اللي تحتها بتتلقى الدعم والنفقات بتاعتها المصروفات من الحكومة فطبعا من ناحية حقوقية أي واحد من حقه إنه هو يروح المدرسة وإنه يكون رأيه فيها وإنه يكون محترم ويعامل كغيره بغض النظر عن دينه بغض النظر عن لونه وتوجهاته الجنسية أو كذا كل الناس سواء في المدارس.
And that same charter of rights and freedoms in Canada is what protects every culture, every skin color, every ability or disability. So it's something very, very important to understand that all public schools are protected by this charter. It's what allows our children and us to exist in this world and exist in these schools without discrimination based on our color of our skin, the language we speak, the colors of countries that we come from. Why I'm saying this is because in the 1970s when I was growing up, my teachers would openly call me Paki. And it wasn't until the 1982, 1983 when the charter was introduced that that disappeared.
طبعا كما حكينا انه قانون الحريات الكندي بيمنح كل فرد في المجتمع الكندي حريات معينه مثل حريه المعتقد وانه كل الناس سواء بغض النظر عن لونك او جنسك او توجهاتك الجنسيه وكذا وده بيشمل جميع الطلاب. طبعا وقف في السبعينات لما كان بيدرس وكذا كان المدرس بتاعه بيقول له يا باكستاني او كذا مصطلح كان مستخدم وطبعا المصطلح ده كان ربما مشين شويه ولكن لما طلعت القوانين اللي بتحمي الطلاب وكذا وتحميهم وبتجعلهم ان هم سواء امام القانون ولهم احترام وكذا فمثل هذه المصطلحات يعني توقف استخدامها.
And it's the same charter of freedoms and rights that allows all of the religions to exist in our country and to seek accommodations in our places of work and at our schools. It is the same charter of rights that allows us to wear hijab, to have a beard, to wear kufi if we want to have prayers in our school buildings, our prayers in our places of organization. Even the ability to go for Jummah Salah is now part of the charter. I mention this because when my father first came to this country in the 60s, they had to have Jummah on Sunday in Toronto because they could not get permission from their workplaces of work to have Jummah on a Friday.
قانون الحقوق والحريات الموجود دلوقتي هو اللي بيحمي حقوقنا احنا كمسلمين ان احنا نصلي وان الاخت تلبس الحجاب وكذا هو نفس القانون اللي بيدعم الناس اللي هم الشواذ جنسيا وكذا نفس القانون بيشملهم جميعا وبيتكلم قبل القانون ده ما يتم تفعيله في الستينات والسبعينات الطلبه المسلمين اللي كانوا موجودين في تورونتو مثلا كانوا بيصلوا الجمعه يوم الاحد لان هو ده الوقت المتاح ليهم تمام انما دلوقتي الوضع اتغير بعد القانون الجديد.
And so because of this charter, if you go into the public education system, as a parent, you can even volunteer to do this, but all schools, generally speaking, the GTA, will educate children about Ramadan because of this charter. And because of this charter, our children will also learn about Christmas, Easter, Yom Kippur, Passover, Hanukkah. They'll also learn about Diwali, right? So these are all these holidays and celebrations from a variety of religions that are also taught in the school system because of the same charter of freedom and rights.
قانون الحريات والحقوق هو نفسه اللي بيسمح للمدارس انها بتعلم عن اعياد المسلمين واحتفالاتهم زي رمضان زي العيد وكذا هو نفس الشيء اللي بيتكلموا عن احتفالات المسيحيين زي الكريسماس والاشياء الاخرى احتفالات اليهود زي الهانوكا والحاجات الثانيه هو بيشمل حقوق وحريات للناس بغض النظر عن دينهم وتوجهاتهم.
And so generally speaking, public school boards of education have to put into place Bill 13, as was mentioned by the sister. Basically, it means that all public boards of education have a mandate that they must recognize every single difference that exists amongst all of its clients and stakeholders, no matter what those differences might be, whether it's religion, culture, creed, language, the food we eat, the abilities or disabilities that we have, glasses, no glasses, in a wheelchair, not in a wheelchair, deaf or not deaf, blind or not blind. Which is why in Ontario you have schools for the deaf, schools for the blind, and programs that exist in public school systems to help students with that. This also extends to learning disabilities, right? Almost one third of the budget in all boards of education is spent on learning difficulties. Students have an actual learning disability, whether physical or cognitive.
القانون بيمنح الحق لكل الناس اللي هم يتم استيعابهم في المدارس وفي الـ في الـ في هذا القانون بغض النظر عن الدين او الجنس او كذا بيشمل ايضا الناس اللي عندهم اعاقات او مشاكل صحيه او عقليه وكذا بيتم استيعابهم في هذا الموضوع فالاحترام وانه الناس يتم استيعابها شامل لجميع الناس ولا يتم التنازل عن هذا الموضوع باي حال من الاحوال.
And because of this, the boards of education must put into place a program or several programs to ensure that discrimination does not happen to anybody. And this includes homosexuals.
طبعا القانون بيضع في اعتباره انه لابد انه الناس يتم الاعتراف بهم وقبولهم واستيعابهم حتى وذلك ايضا يشمل الناس اللي عندهم شذوذ جنسي وكذا هم كطائفه كغيرها من الطائف الاخرى الموجوده في المجتمع.
And one of the biggest reasons for this is to understand, this might be difficult for us to understand, but the truth is that there are students who come to public schools who go home to two fathers or two mothers.
This is going to make your heads explode. طبعا طبعا من ضمن الامور اللي بيدرسوها في المدارس انه في بعض الطلاب بيكون الابوين راجلين او ستين مش اب وام كالحاجه اللي احنا متعرفين عليها.
And what will shock you to know now, just because that was going to make your head explode and listen to this, because it happened to me this year. You have to understand my roles as a guidance counselor. I don't teach in a classroom setting, I used to. Now I help students with their problems. And one of the issues that arose this year was a female student coming to me. Now, I met her mother, who was Muslim. She was a lesbian, had a lesbian partner.
طبعا نفس المشاكل احنا بنظن الحاجات دي مش موجوده عندنا ولكن المسلمين بعض المسلمين عندهم نفس المشاكل وبيذكر ان في طالبه جات له امها شاذه جنسيا وكان ليها واحده صاحبتها مع بعض يعني.
So this is real life. Your children are going to schools where their peers have two mothers and two fathers. And they will talk about that and share that in their discussion with each other and in the classroom itself.
الوضع المثالي حاجة المثاليات والأمور اللي هي اللي بتحصل بشكل طبيعي حاجة الواقع حاجة تانية إنما الواقع عندنا بيحصل إنه في مشاكل في شذوذ جنسي الطلاب بيتعرفوا هذه الحاجات في المدارس فلازم نكون عايشين في الواقع مش في الخيال.
So one of the biggest difficulties for us as a community of Muslims is that we have no problem with people's color, people's culture, people's food, their creed. We are all, you know, we have that within our own religion and we are accepting of all differences. But when it comes to sinfulness, that is where we as a community have a problem, whether it be fornication, murderers, thieves, homosexuals fall within the same category. And so this is why it's so hard for us to understand what's happening. But what is happening is that the homosexuals want to be and are now being recognized just as if they were a different color, or spoke a different language, or came from a different country. And that's where the big disconnect is, not only with Muslims, but anybody belonging to a faith group. Christians, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, they all have the same problem because we all see, all faith groups see homosexuality not as a color or a creed or a language or a country. We see it as a sinful action. But because we're all living in the same country, it has become the same. That's why homosexuality is accept or being trying to be accepted. And that's why through Bill 13 and this new curriculum, that's why it's being talked about.
مسألة الشذوذ الجنسي بيتم النظر إليها من منظورين مختلفين، من منظور الأسر مثلا والمجتمعات الدينية زي المسلمين والمسيحيين واليهود. طبعا معروف في الكتب المقدسة القرآن وحتى في الكتاب المقدس بتاع اليهود والنصارى معروف إنه الشذوذ الجنسي هو يعني معصية. مثل الزنا والقتل والسرقه وكذا. انما بالنسبه للشواذ الجنسيه لما بينظروا الموضوع ما بينظروش اليه ان هو خطا او ذنب او كذا، بينظروا اليه ان هو مساله تنوع مثل التنوع الثقافي، مثل الأكل المختلف، اختلاف الألوان البشرة أو اللغة أو كذا، فالمنظور مختلف في الحالتين.
So John Chrétien, who was a former prime minister of this country, there's a very famous incident that happened when he went to Montreal to his home church. And he's a practicing Catholic, practicing Christian. And the priest refused to have him in the congregation because at that time he had just passed a law allowing homosexual rights to get married. And so there was a big controversy. He was questioned, well, how could you do this as a practicing person of faith? He said, because as a person, I'm a Christian. When I'm prime minister of this country, I'm here for everybody. And so everybody's rights have to be protected, again, in the same charter of rights and freedoms. The same charter that gives us our rights gives everybody rights, including homosexuals. And the rights of one group cannot be used to trample over the rights of another group. The beliefs of one group cannot be used to trample over the beliefs of another group. So faith-based values cannot be used to say, well, homosexuals have no right to be here. We cannot say that. Because the same thing as whites standing up in South Africa and saying blacks have no right to be here.
بكلم عن أحد رؤساء الوزراء هنا في كندا كان وافق على قانون بيتعلق بمسألة الشواذ أو كذا، وقال هو لما راح الكنيسة بتاعته اللي هو كان بيروحها القسيس فيها ما رحبش بيه أو عامله بجفاء، وقال له ليه أنت وافقت على الموضوع ده وكذا، حتى في الكنيسة عندهم مشاكل. فقال له إن أنا كشخص كإنسان أنا مسيحي، ولكن كرئيس الوزراء أنا رئيس لكل الناس ويعني بقبل بكل الناس، فالوضع مختلف أو المنظور مختلف.
So the question comes, why does this have to be taught at such an early age? And the reason is because biases and racism and discrimination also start at an early age. And our sister mentioned very specifically in the curriculum as to why they said that to teach things at a certain age and why that's happened so early, and why these books like My Two Dads, Sam and His Two Dads, or My Two Moms, why these books being taught is because the differences become apparent right from when the child is very young. And so we know it ourselves in our own homes. We might be teaching our children values from a very early age as to who we accept, who we don't accept, right? Because if I'm from Pakistan, my father's from Pakistan, I'm born and raised here, but when I was growing up, my father made it very clear to me from age 3, we will hate every single Hindu, and if a Hindu comes in his home, we'll kill that person, okay? Because my father fought in the war. My father was part of partition. The hatred is there. My father-in-law, also the same thing, they lost everything. So these are the values being taught to our children when they're very, very young. You think about the people growing up in Bosnia. What are they teaching their children about the Serbs? Right? So values are being taught from a very early age. Discrimination starts from a very early age because of us as parents and our backgrounds and what we're teaching our children. The other people out there also have their own same biases. Right? How many people out there telling their kids hate the Muslims? Right? And you see all of these discrimination actions happening at a very early age in elementary schools across this country and across America. So this is why these values and this is why this concept of anti-discrimination, anti-racist curriculum has to start at a very early age.
مسألة يعني تأكيد إدارة التعليم على قبول الآخرين أو عدم التمييز أو التفرقة هما يعني بدأوا تدريس هذه الأمور من سن صغير شايفين ان السبب انه بنيجي من ثقافات معينه او خلفيات معينه والاباء بيعلمونا حاجات واحنا صغيرين في حاجات صح ولكن في حاجات خطا يعني هو ذكر مثال ان هو جاي من باكستان هو اتولد وعاش هنا ولكن ابوه من باكستان فكان بيعلمه ان احنا كمسلمين لو جه واحد هندوسي عندك في البيت لازم نضربه لازم نأذيه او كذا لا نتقبلهم بسبب صراعات سياسيه حصلت زمان وفي مشاكل طائفيه او كذا هو بيقول ان هو متاكد برضه انه في الاباء اللي هم مش مسلمين بيعلموا اولادهم ما تتكلمش مع واحد مسلم والمسلمين مش كويسين وكذا فالتمييز والتفرقه موجوده ولذلك يجب مواجهتها في سن صغير.
So that's the public board of education. I'd like to now switch over to a different hat and that's from the perspective of a teacher. And the first thing I'd like to mention is that education in Canada, education in Ontario is very different than education around the world. And as the sister mentioned, we come from different cultures and different countries. And our expectation of the education system might be one way, and when we come here, we find, oh my gosh, what's happening? It's not the same as back home. It's not the same as our expectations of what education should be like.
من وجهة النظر أو من منظور الأستاذ هو يعني شايف إنه أسلوب التعليم أو المقررات أو مناهج التعليم هنا في أونتاريو مختلفة تماماً عن مناهج التعليم حتى في بعض الأماكن التانية في كندا، وطبعاً مختلفة تماماً كلياً وجزئياً عن مناهج التعليم عندنا في بلادنا. فإحنا لما بنيجي هنا فبيكون في توقعات أو تصورات معينة، ولكن في الواقع بنشوف حاجات بتصدمنا أو حاجات ما تكونش مناسبة لينا.
Very simple example is that in our own home countries, and give you an example of myself, I taught in Saudi Arabia for a short time. And over there, if a child was to step out of line or to talk back to the teacher, it was dealt with in a very stern way. And the parents had no problem with us raising our voices or consequencing the students in that setting. But here, if I were to ever raise my voice, if any teacher were to raise their voice at a child, there would be a very, very big problem. There would be a whole write-up. That teacher would be evaluated. That teacher could be moved. There's a report to the Ontario College of Teachers. That teacher could be disciplined at the government level. So the differences are very, very obvious. But one of the major differences that we find is that in this country and in this province, values, beliefs, and morals are not in the purview of the teacher. It's not the teacher's responsibility to directly teach beliefs and values and manners and morals and character. We talk about character education in this country. We talk about character education in the curriculum. But it's not really that obvious. It's not existent. And we know it ourselves, because every time I tell someone I'm a teacher, they say, oh my gosh. And when I say I'm a high school teacher, they say, oh my gosh, you must be crazy. Because, you know, high school teachers, they must be crazy, right? With all the nonsense that goes on, right? The drugs, the drinking, the alcohol, the rock and roll. How are you dealing with that? Oh my gosh, how can you deal with that every day? So we know it ourselves that there is an issue in our schooling system. There's an issue in our country. We see the things that are going around us. Someone mentioned billboards, television commercials, so on and so forth. What happens on the radio, the music our children are listening to. There is a very large problem with character development in this country and in the society because it is never explicitly taught in the school. I hope that's very clear. So whether it's religion or religious values, whether God exists or not, these are not topics that we talked about.
طبعا اسلوب التعليم مختلف هنا في كندا عن الدول اللي احنا جايين منها. هو اعطى مثال عن مساله تاديب الطالب اذا غلط او كذا، عن هو اشتغل شويه في السعوديه، ونفس الموضوع موجود في الدول الاسلاميه. لو الطالب غلط او كذا بتمسح فيه الارض وتكسر راسه، ده ما فيش مشكله، وحتى الاباء ما عندهمش مشكله في كده لان هم نفسهم بيعملوا كده في البيت. طبعا انما هنا اذا رفعت بس صوتك على الطالب، المدرس إذا رفع صوته أو ضرب الطالب وكذا، طبعاً هيكهربوا المدرس ويعملوا مشاكل ينفقوه. تمام؟ فالوضع مختلف تماماً.
Why can't we talk? Like, why is this not being taught in the school? That might be a question. You know, in our home countries we can teach this. Why can't we teach over here? So again, when I was growing up in the 70s, up into the early 80s, we would recite the Lord's Prayer, which is the second page of the New Testament of the Bible, and we would recite this after singing O Canada every morning. And this is the religious majority in this country at that time. So every child, no matter what religion they came from, was forced to recite every single day, you know, Our Lord, Thou art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Let Thy kingdom come, will be done unto us as it is in heaven. I can recite the whole thing for you from memory from when I was a child. So it was imposed. The Judeo-Christian values, First and Second Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, were imposed on everybody in this country, in this province specifically, from late 60s on into the 70s to about the mid-80s, when someone said, hey, the Charter of Freedom and Rights is about 3 or 4 years old, this has to stop. And that's still been going on. In Brampton, finally, earlier this year, after 3 months of debate, they finally decided to stop saying the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of their business meetings. So, because of the Charter of Freedom and Rights, no religious values can be taught in the school, whether they be beliefs, direct beliefs as to, you know, what the actual creed is, but also none of the values can explicitly be taught.
طبعاً بيحاولوا يخرجوا رب العالمين من فصول الدراسة خالص أو أي تعاليم دينية أو أي حاجة برا خالص، تمام؟ فهم هناك بيدرسوا ما يروه من منظور علماني بحت. المعتقدات الدينية والأمور الأخلاقية المبنية على الأديان وكذا بدأت تخرج، وقال إنه في الستينات والسبعينات لما كانوا بيروحوا المدارس كانوا بيقولوا اللوردز براير بتاعة المسيحيين، بيقولوها لازم، بيقولوها في المدارس الصبح سواء كنت مسلم مسيحي يهودي بوذي أي واحد لازم يقولها، اللي هي مسيحية أصلا بس كانت مفروضة عليهم. طبعا قانون الحريات والحقوق منع هذا الموضوع.
So it really is the parent's job. From a teacher's perspective, it is the job of the parent to teach manners and morals and ethics at home. That is the full right and responsibility of the parent. So as parents, perhaps we have not been aware of this, but we have to take time to explicitly teach manners and morals to our children at home. And I put up here, it's funny, when you type ethics in school, like manners and morals in schools, what do you see when it pops up in Google? Everything about Muslims. It's interesting, because we are, alhamdulillah, we are the last guardians of manners and morals in this world, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. But this is a book I put up here, because you can probably find this book online or some of the bookstores around here, but it's a great small book to teach kids basic manners and morals, akhlaq and adab, to our children. Right? So this is, from the teacher's perspective, from the perspective of public education, it is the right responsibility of parents, not teachers, to teach akhlaq and adab.
طبعا زي ما حكينا انه في الكلاس رومز في الفصول في المدارس مسألة الأخلاقيات والأدبيات من منظور ديني الحاجات اللي احنا متعارفين عليها كمسلمين مش موجودة فطبعا ده دور الأسرة الأب والأم ان هم يعلموا الأخلاقيات والأدبيات في البيت لأنها مش موجودة في المدارس.
And so that comes us now to the curriculum. And so once again the curriculum is a public document. You can find this online anytime you wish. You can download as a PDF. And some of the newer documents, you can actually order the paper copy if you like as well, for free. Free shipping and everything. Question is, how many of us have ever taken a look at the curriculum? I'm talking about basic, this is grade 1 to grade 8. Language, arts, math, science and technology, arts, kindergarten curriculum. Anybody actually ever read any of these books? As a parent, we have to. As a parent, we have to. And I'll tell you this as a person, my youngest brother is 11 years younger than me. And when I was interested in teaching about second year of university, I picked up curriculum books to find out what is he actually teaching and what is he actually learning in school. Okay? It is very, very important for us to know what our children are being exposed to every day. If we don't read the curriculum documents, we don't know what's going on in school. Which is why it's a public domain. Okay? So all of us here have a, not only a right, but all parents have a responsibility to read all of these curriculum documents. You can read it grade by grade if you want to. You don't have to read the whole thing in one sitting. Like the sister said, go one grade at a time. But we have to read all of these books. We can't just get upset when the sex ed curriculum comes out and say, oh, now we have to read. Where were we for the last, you know, 5, 6 years when our kids were in school? All of these documents have things in them that contravene our Islamic values. All of them. You have to read them to understand what I'm saying. But you have to read them yourself with your spouse. And I'm not talking about one parent reading this. Both parents need to sit down and read this. Read it with your children. Show them, explain to them. Especially the science and technology curriculum, because you'll see them say, hey, that sounds a bit fishy. There's the Islamic version of this I should teach my children. Social studies and social sciences. What do you want your children knowing about how this country was developed or conquered? Because you can make allusions as to what's happening in our own countries around the world. Our children need to know. And oftentimes we as parents with our experience and our backgrounds are in a much better position than the teacher in the classroom to teach our kids what's actually going on in the world. Okay? So it's not just about sex ed curriculum, it's about all curriculum. The second part about this is that teachers do not have to share their lesson plans with any of us here. Right? Teachers have autonomy in the classroom. They develop their own lesson plans. They do not have to share those lesson plans at all. Okay? So a parent is one responsible for reading those documents. So it comes to the sex ed curriculum. Right? So these are the old documents. I want to ask a question. How many people actually read the old document, the 1998 or even the 2010 version that's available now? We never did because we didn't care about it. But all of a sudden this new one comes out and now we're like, oh my goodness, what's happening? But as the sister mentioned, you look at the 1998 curriculum and you see today, there was already things inside that maybe we as parents should have questioned a while ago. What is my child learning? You might be interested to know that the grade 9 science curriculum, which I have taught many times, tells exactly the same thing, the beginning to the end, covering homosexuality, transgender, all those type of conversations, but along with reproduction, and all the diagrams and things that go forward with them as well. And all the talks about having safe sex and how to use contraceptives. Some parents may be, you know, astonished to learn even a 14-year-old or a 13-year-old is learning these things in school as well. Oftentimes parents don't know. So the most important message here is that these documents are public. You as parents, we as parents need to take time to read all of them. Not just the 2 pages from this particular document that we're all upset about, but all of it. Now I mentioned that teachers do not have a responsibility to share with us their lesson plan. I'm not going to call you up this the night before, hey, this is what I'm teaching tomorrow. They're not going to do that. Some teachers who are technically advanced might say, you know, I'm going to put some of my curriculum online so parents can keep up with it. But we as parents have a right and a responsibility to approach our teachers and say, how are you teaching this?